We're gonna knock this shit out. Here we go.
Hey, Johnny. Do you want to go to an ice cream social?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
It's time for Matt Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me is Paul Mattingly.
Across from me, Mr. Matt Donnelly.
And on the knobs and dials is Jacob the Audio Guy.
Did you just forget his name?
For preaching fun?
No. I'm having a news processing day.
Oh.
Yeah.
I just
minutes.
Minutes ago,
yeah,
found out that Rene Auberjonois.
You said that's a Star Trek person.
That is one of his best-known roles. He was Odo in Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Okay.
But he was also a key player in the Benson sitcom way back in the day. He's been around forever. He's a very renowned voice performer as well, voice actor.
Okay.
So that's a real heartbreak.
That's
there.
Too bad.
Carol Spiney, or Spiney, however you pronounce it,
yeah.
Big Bird, passed away today too. So it's not good. That's two real great character guys.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy. And then I read something crazy from some other guy, and I was like, oh, wow.
Oh, you read something crazy on the internet?
I know. Can you believe it?
Huh, weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
What other guy?
Some guy who's in power somewhere internationally.
Does a weird thing.
He did something weird, which, you know, he does all the time.
Okay.
And there's just one more weird thing, and it's just like, you feel like you're chewing on tinfoil after a while, because you're like, Jesus yeah. Christ. When will this nightmare hellscape end?
I may have just become a Elizabeth Warren Bernie Sanders voter.
Okay.
My kid riding his bike falls,
mm-hmm.
busts open his chin.
Okay.
Ooh, big time.
Yeah.
Bleeding all over the place.
I'm guessing this is younger kid.
Younger kid.
Okay.
Running around, and as we finally kind of get to like wipe it down and get the...
Matt's older child does not bleed.
Massive amount of just money.
Get all the blood away.
And there's like a piece of chin that shouldn't be out. That's in the part of the chin.
Okay.
Something inside is outside. And so we were like, all right, well, I guess it's emergency room time.
Sure.
Oh shit.
You know,
that bad.
Well, yeah. Like there's a muscle or something that was outside of the wound.
Okay.
Something from inside was outside. There was like a piece of.
Did you try to push it back in?
Right.
Let me tell you what my move is there. It involves pushing it back in.
So it was right on the tip of the chin so that it would come right back out.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. You know, whatever the deal is.
Chin meat.
What, you don't have tape?
Loose chin meat.
Right. This is the thing. So you're like, and we are. We're like, he is really upset.
Sure.
And is feeling very urgent. And we are also going like, this doesn't... And then literally, so my wife just goes, how much is this going to cost us?
Right.
As she like is upset.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And this is why. Yeah.
And you go like any deal, you know, whatever. It's like
whatever the cost.
It's like, yeah, you go like, this is what we do, whatever. It's like, mm-hmm. we already know that this is bad enough that we went to the, it was too late to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
This happened in the evening.
Oh, okay.
The doctor would have said, go to the emergency room. That's what every doctor does for that kind of stuff.
And I guess this isn't an urgent care thing. I guess urgent care would probably do the same thing.
We debated urgent care. So this is the thing. So, okay. When I switch to the Affordable Health Care Act,
yeah,
there's only two options for companies that can take you on for the Affordable Health Care Act. And then all the urgent cares around us don't take that insurance.
Great.
Ah.
There's a time where I've been paying out of pocket for insurance. I've never had a job that's given me insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of these difficult things. Like you have a union, yes?
Yes.
And so if you have a question for your healthcare or whatever, there's actually someone in the union who's in charge of being like your advocate, right?
There is, but more directly, there's someone at my insurance company that I can just call.
Yeah.
And like I can get a real person on the phone pretty easily.
Yeah.
And just have a quick conversation with them and it's answered really quickly.
I'd say that is one of the most frustrating things about when you're out of pocket and you're a solo person is like you don't feel like you have like a person.
Yeah.
On your side to help.
No,
do stuff.
I have had, there was an issue that I had a couple of years ago where some wires got crossed somewhere and my insurance got canceled.
Yeah.
And it was, it wasn't my fault. I think it was just a weird clerical error thing. called the insurance company. They said, well, we're not in open enrollment right now, and you're off of our books, so we can't help you. And I called the union then, and they took care of it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I get what you mean.
Yeah. And so we go there, and of course I'm like, well, let's just go in. And then as I drive to the hospital, he is actually, like, calmed down a little bit.
Okay.
And so I was like, and I literally, like, pulled into the emergency room entrance park, you know, where that parking is, and kind of, like, hold him up to be like, let's really
think about this,
you know.
Right.
And I go, well, at this point, like, it might be, like, a weird, crazy, permanent scar situation on his chin at the very least.
Okay.
I should at least, let's go, we'll go inside and talk to someone.
Let's go
and
have
I
a
kinda,
look.
I kind of, we go inside the emergency room. There's a, you know, admitting person there, and I go, like, listen, he cut his chin. Do you think this is, like, a thing? You see people here.
Smart. Yeah, good, good. Smart.
Their job is not to do that.
Sure. Of course, but.
Their job is, like, a doctor will tell you, can I have your insurance card and your license?
But, right.
And so I just was like, all right. I just want to, like,
still, start
sure
asking
someone,
people.
Yeah. So they're like, all right, well, and so they take, and then all of a sudden, boom, we're committed. We're in the emergency.
Yeah. Now you're in the queue.
So we go in, and yeah, they numb them up, and they do exactly what Jacob says. They poke
it back in,
clamp it down.
Comes back out. Oh, no.
No, they come back down. They basically were saying, like, there's stuff called liquid skin.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Liquid skin is great.
For a little kid, so you don't have to do stitches and needles. They numb it from the outside.
You should just get some liquid skin and keep it at the house.
Yeah.
Because that stuff is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were when Sarah was learning fire eating, we were told about keeping liquid skin.
Yeah.
Liquid skin.
And so, all told, you know, they numb it, pinch it, they put crazy holding bandages on it, then put a big old bandage over the top of it that will self-dissolve in 5 days.
Okay.
Mission Impossible style. Self-destruct. We were in the emergency room for an hour.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
So, right before we leave, in comes the woman with a little cart and the credit card machine and a little cart.
Yep.
Hey.
And I go, like, hold on. And I go, my son's like,
and you point at somebody else, and we're like, that's for him. He's got that.
He'll be
and then just run.
Thank you, Garcone.
And my son says, Daddy, can we go now? Now he's all patched up. I said, no, we got to figure out how much this is going to cost us.
Yeah.
And this lady's here to tell us that. And she's like, I am. She's clickety-clackety-clacking.
Okay. Is she the most friendly or least friendly person in the hospital?
This is, I was actually was impressed with her. Because she was like definitely like, I know who I am.
Yeah.
So she was very all biz.
Mm-hmm.
She's aware that she's bringing not great news.
Yes. She was like smiling without being like overly warm. She wasn't trying to fake me out.
No. Right.
She was like, yep, let's talk.
Yeah.
She had a very like, let's just do it.
She is professional.
Yeah.
She is kind, but professional.
She's like, okay, first thing you need to know
I'm just
is...
thinking like, this is the most like specialized person in the entire hospital.
Oh, I
that
know.
No one knows about.
And I've had people worse than this come talk to us, you know. And
you have purchased a house, basically.
Well, this is the thing. So, like, I pay $18,000 a year out of my pocket to insure me and my kids.
Right.
Which, for those of you keeping track at home, ain't nothing.
Ain't nothing. Mm-hmm. Right. And for those of you who support me on Abracababble, thank you. That pays for it. No, because that's what happened. Is that I changed the date when I was paying out of pocket. I changed the date I wanted the. I bumped up the date to pay. I went from paying every month on the 6th to paying on the 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And in that clerical moment,
mm-hmm.
I got dropped from my insurance completely. No one returned a phone call. I couldn't figure out, and my kids, and now me and my family had no insurance. And I couldn't get anyone on the phone. And I had an email trail where I sent, you know, screen grabs of everything.
Right.
Like, this is the emails I received. This is proof they did. This is proof that you guys should have taken things out on your end. I got nothing. No risk, nothing. Couldn't get anyone on the phone. No one responded to emails. Nothing. Don't have insurance. So that's when I floated on some internet insurance that worked at urgent cares.
Okay.
But wouldn't count as official insurance for my tax purposes.
Gotcha.
For a couple of months until I was able to enroll in Obamacare.
Okay.
And then basically like scared about losing insurance or whatever. Ended up just being like, I got to stop worrying about this kind of stuff.
Right.
So... $18,000 a year to then get this breakdown, which is like, okay, so I'm here. I'm just here from the hospital.
Okay. Yeah.
So what we're talking about here is that bed your son was on.
Right.
Okay. That doctor is a private contractor doctor who works here. What you're going to get billed from him has nothing to do with me here today.
Ugh. So you got more money coming.
Yeah.
And you don't know how much.
No.
And it's up to him to decide.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants to bill.
And she goes, just for the bit, just for being in this room here today,
yep.
you owe me $2,000.
Ooh.
And I said, I have insurance. Yep. Your insurance comes with a certain amount of copay, and you haven't reached that copay this year.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You owe $2,000.
Do you know what your copay is?
I'm
Do you know
guessing,
what that number is now?
I'm guessing.
$2,000.
No, I'm guessing because I switched. I went up a tier heading into starting next year. So that's the frustrating thing is that I upped my tier to pay more.
You have better insurance starting January 1st.
Yes.
Yeah.
So right. That was even more frustrating to be like, because I bet it was a $5,000 copay.
Yeah. Sure. Because I was going to say, if it's a $2,000 copay,
yeah.
This is the month to encourage your children to get into like extreme sports now.
Oh, I mean, I kind of think it's that's the frustrating part, right? So I'm cool with a copay.
Yeah.
Right? I signed up for it.
Yeah.
I signed up for it so it would save me whatever, $400 a month or whatever.
Yeah.
But now she's telling me that the way the medical cost of this is going to break down, some of it's going to go over to the hospital and none of it's going to go to this doctor. Or.
Right.
Whatever, a new amount's going to go to the doctor. So
yeah.
The least I'm going to owe is $4,000, but it's probably going to be more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just if it's the bed and the doctor, you know.
Yeah.
And this is just you know, to get pinched up or whatever. So like so, and then if it wasn't that, right? If it wasn't $4,000 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it's going to end up being $10,000. I've taken my kid to the emergency room. This would be the third time.
Yeah.
The other two have definitely cost me $10,000with mm-hmm. insurance.
Yeah.
Definitely
yeah.
have cost me $10,000. One had like a minor operation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that ended up being about $20,000 with all of my insurance.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't have insurance, it would be what, like $100,000? It would
right.
just be, I would just be going bankrupt.
It'd just be, yeah, you'd be bankrupt.
And this is what's so fucking crazy to me is that I pay $18,000 a year so that
you can go
I
bankrupt.
Can cover bullshit with. I pay $18,000 a year so I can cover bullshit with credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'd go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'd just go bankrupt.
Yeah.
And that's where it's like, and so like when Bernie Sanders and people go, it's fucking crazy talk. It's going to raise taxes or whatever. But you're going to, it's like, if I pay what $18,000 a year or whatever a year.
Right.
I just want to go have it be one thing and deal with it. Like, I don't understand.
If I pay an extra 5%
yeah.
in taxes each year
yeah.
that just goes to that,
yeah,
that's not something that you can just write off. I don't know if that's the right thing to do or not. I don't know if Medicare for All is the right move to make. I know that our healthcare system sucks.
I know
that it's fucked.
And know that, like, I know that I didn't use $2,000 worth of people's time and material.
Right.
And also, that's even not even with the hospital. The hospitals would be taking in whatever, $10,000 or $5,000.
Right. They're getting more.
And I get that you have to compensate for all this and that. But like when, like it just has to, like there has to be an effort to make it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there was just a nurse that came by while you were waiting and just gave you a quick blowy.
Yeah. That's worth $2,000.
Make an effort.
Make an effort.
Just make an effort, hospital.
No, but exactly.
That's all I'm asking for.
No, and I'm going to, because this has happened fast, and I get so frustrated that I just lay it off and ends up going on credit cards, and I just pay it off over whatever. And it's annoying. But I want to make this make sense. So I'm going to keep talking about, as the bills come in, I'm going to keep talking about it on air, and I'm going to document this experience.
Okay.
Because I'm sure people are going to go right in to make stuff make sense. That's fine. If you want to talk about whatever. Like, it's just crazy to me that, like, we can't make things cost what they should cost. And if it's paying for other things, then can we make that one thing that we're all, you know, like, there's mm-hmm. just seems like we're taking the worst path possible.
Oh, absolutely.
To pay for all of it. And mm-hmm. so it's just so frustrating. My kid's fine.
Good.
He's feeling good. He's good. Healing well. They did a routine. It is funny that, like, it was right on the tip of the chin.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the fake bandage, the bandage they put over it that will dissolve over time, is clear. it's filled up with blood over time because he talks to the scapcum.
Sure.
So if he talks or chews. So I've been walking around my kid looking like basically from far away, it looks like he's an artist with like a Van Dutch little thing on the chin.
That's great.
And then as he gets up close, people look at you like, there's just a bunch of blood on your child's chin.
And you're so like, it's fine.
He's freaking people out. I'm like, I can't touch it. I'm literally been the instructions were not to touch it, not to get it wet, like leave it alone.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll be freaking fine. People out.
He's a kid. Kids bleed.
He's a kid. It's just, so it's just maddening. Anyways. And I was like, so when I hear those guys talk about those things that make it, like, it's just going to be this. Yes, it's going to cost more. Yes, your tax is going to go up, but it's just going to be one situation.
Yeah.
That's music to my ears.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand what's working now.
All of that, all of that definitely makes me more of a socialist. It doesn't make me a socialist, but just that conversation certainly makes me more of one.
Mm-hmm.
I spent...
The point is that that's the advocacy thing I brought up when I talked about your union guy.
Right.
The hardest part of being a single payer is not feeling like you have an advocate.
Right.
And yes, like I know the libertarian perspective of like, hey, you know, whatever the market decides, that kind of stuff. And I don't want to be so like, well, whatever, you're an idiot. Like, I don't have the time or the inclination to become an expert on these things.
Healthcare is a monopoly.
Well, that's it. And to get on the phone or whatever. And yeah, we don't let cross state companies compete.
There's all of
like
that
car
stuff.
Insurance and...
But I mean, even like advocacy and everything else.
Yeah,
there are X number of people that have expertise in the healthcare industry.
Yeah,
it is hard to get into because it is cost prohibitive to get into in the first place.
Yeah.
So I mean, it starts to behave like a monopoly. Even though there are probably 50 hospitals in this city, all owned by different people.
Yeah.
And each one of them gets to act like its own little monopoly. Right. Also, once you're in the door, you're not shopping around.
Right. Yeah.
They're not going to tell you, oh, this is going to cost you $2,000, which, by the way, they're not going to tell you what it's going to cost up front because they haven't decided yet.
No, and all that stuff. I mean,
there's a lot of stuff going on.
It brings you to the other great touch point for our listeners would be Marianne Williamson on Penn Sunday School.
Okay.
Got a lot of fun reactions.
Oh,
the
presidential candidate.
Yes.
Fun.
Yeah, so the woman who was into crystals or whatever. Man, was she a much better guest than I thought she'd be.
Oh, good.
See, there's two.
I haven't listened to that one.
And the funniest thing is they're seeing the reaction of people. So a lot of people like on Facebook groups and stuff are like, I'm out on Penn. I'm done with Penn Jillette interviewing Marianne Williamson. Bullshit. Blah, 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 blah.
They're just mad that he interviewed her?
Well, here's the thing. So, like...
Because for those people, I'll just say, we would be really happy to interview her.
Right, that's the thing. And she is the second presidential candidate we've interviewed. And no one reacted when we had Gary Johnson on.
Also, like, if Bernie Sanders wanted to come on Ice Cream Social...
Yeah.
And talk to us for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
We would be thrilled to talk to it's
to
a fucking
be fair,
conversation.
No one reacted when Gary Johnson ran for president. So
it wasn't just Penn's audience
just
that didn't react.
No. Penn met Marianne Williamson haphazardly, coincidentally on a plane. Met her on a plane.
Mm-hmm.
And they started talking off and he was like, oh my God, I'm talking to that woman that everyone's saying is the batshit crazy crystal healer that's running for president.
Huh.
And had fun talking on the plane, thought she was crazy, but like was like,
sure.
Hey, if you're ever in Vegas, come by the podcast.
Yeah.
And the funny thing was like...
Which is also the same thing that we do anytime we meet a presidential candidate.
Totally. We meet anyone fascinating, we tell them to come by the studio.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have to agree with them.
Right. And so, like, someone interpreted this, like, as if he was trying to, like, lend his platform to it, or someone was, like, accusing him of being, like, a ratings grabber. And I'll tell you what's funny about it being a ratings grabber, or an attempt for him. The podcast is Pendulette's, like, fourth-level endeavor of the things he does for money.
You know? Sure.
And he does not make a ton of money, or he could argue some years any money doing podcasting. He enjoys having a podcast tremendously. He enjoys the outlet and the connection it has.
Sure.
To the people who are interested in him and all things Penn and Teller, by no means does he ever think he needs to move or shake for the podcast.
Also, though, spoiler to everyone,
yeah,
anyone who has a podcast wants people to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yes, we're all always doing a ratings grab.
Yes.
Whatever that means.
Sure.
we try to be, you know, we try to be something that people want to listen to.
Yes. Yes.
And that's
yes.
why we get into this hot insurance talk.
And I'm sure we would talk about Penn's literally going away. And so he's not going to be doing a live broadcast for the next like 3 weeks.
Right.
So he won't be able to respond to any of this. And by the time he gets back, he won't want to.
Which is much better.
He won't want to. And, yeah. And that's the funny thing about it. The most funny thing about it is Penn knew he had a bunch of bank episodes to air coming up between here and January. And said, I don't care when you air the Marianne Williamson one.
Yeah.
I was the one who suggested like, hey, she's running. She might drop out between now and then. And he goes, I still don't care.
Right.
He really didn't care about when it aired.
Yeah.
it was only Glenn Alley and I being like, well, might as well air it while she's still running.
Yeah.
Which I guess, like, if he gets any blowback from it, his first response would be like, I would have waited till after. I really didn't care.
Yeah.
Fascinating. She was interesting to talk to. She had run for office somewhere else that I didn't know. I forget the office now. It's been a while since we recorded.
Also, the little bit that I know about her, she doesn't seem like a dumb person.
No. This is the point. Is that she is, I think, the way the majority of spiritual Americans are. Many Americans have some semblance of spirituality and religion
sure.
in their lives. And in those situations, will speak openly of God's love or energy or wherever else. But then all of a sudden, when there's faced a situation where a doctor says, hey, you need to do this to take care of that, they say, yes, please. They don't say, no, it's okay. We're praying it away.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm. They say, yes, bring the chemo.
So she was furious at her characterization by the press.
Okay. I believe that. Yeah.
And saying that, like, I am pro-science. And
great.
Oprah is pro-science.
Great.
And blah, 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 blah. It's a funny moment where she goes, I mean, Oprah said this, and she's pro-science. Would you accuse her of being anti-science? And Penn said, yes, I would.
And she said, oh, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I remember where I am now.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I got lost for a moment.
Yes. So she's gotten caught saying plenty of dumb spiritual things to, like, rally the human spirit for people. That's what her deal is. When she talked about any issue, she was very passionate, very well informed, to past, you know, above the level of me, Ready, Rich, and Penn.
Of course.
So maybe not a lot. but regardless of that, she spoke well of the things she's passionate about. I didn't get a chance to ask her a question. Like, Penn and her had hit it off, but like the basic thing is like, I don't believe before interviewing Marianne Williamson, many people running for president who had no chance of becoming the president
mm-hmm.
changed the conversation of what that party will do with their platform.
Yes.
Many people have done that.
I have said this many times. I was so angry
yeah.
that McAfee, when he yeah. was running, just came off as this batshit crazy loon.
Yes.
And so I was like, the things that he's talking about need to be talked about.
Yeah,
we need
it.
To talk about those things.
Yeah.
And sadly, the person who is initiating conversation is just coming across as a crazy person.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Yang has changed the conversation about incomes and dividends.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of whether those kind of programs will take place, he has changed the way we think about the poor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Honestly, like a year ago, I remember Penn privately being like, you know what helps the poor? Money. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And he's like, no. Like, it's proven all these education things mm-hmm. don't work. It's proven all these things break down. And it's also proven that when you get people who are poor money, they just help improve the situations. The things that you go away, want to go away. And when he said that back then, I was like, what? No. And then, boom, now here's Andrew Yang, changing the conversation for everybody.
Yeah.
And here's studies coming out about all of these two decades of two different presidents trying to change the way education works in our system is not working. And it's like, and all of it is making us go like, oh yeah, not like, what the fuck? And it's because Andrew Yang is one of the reasons why.
Right. No, just last year, 2 years ago, I guess, a good friend of ours did not have any money. She was not doing well. And she and I were hanging out one night. She was saying, yeah, I got this job offer. I don't think I'm going to be able to take it, though, because I don't have a car. And I'm not going to be able to get to and from this job. I could Uber, but that will, you know, that doesn't make financial sense. And so I don't think I'm going to be able to take this job because it's not on a side of town that I can get a ride to with the person I'm living with and blah, blah, blah. And so I said, I've got some cash. I'll buy you a car. You pay me back whenever you can. you're gonna have a job. We'll figure out a payment plan. You can pay me back, but you'll have the car. We'll get you a car that runs, and you know it's not going to be fancy, but we're going to get you a car that can get you to and from work.
And just the seat alone will cost you $2,000.
Exactly.
Just the seat.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and
this month.
Yeah, and then the steering wheel. That's an outside contractor.
Like, can I ask? Like, I don't want a private contractor doctor. Who's a guy on? Who's a full time guy?
Yeah,
I'll wait.
Right.
Could I have done that?
Oh, he did.
The
contractor killed him.
Was it an option?
He's a contract killer doctor.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did we not explain that properly?
Yeah.
All right, the contract doctors come in, kill the doctors that are here on staff,
mm-hmm.
and that's how they get jobs as doctors.
It's true. And you know, weirdly enough, you know who else kills doctors on staff? The following sponsor.
Hello. Do you have insurance? Too bad. I am a contract killer doctor.
So you kill contracts?
I kill everyone.
Okay. It's the title's confusing.
All contracts.
Yeah.
All people.
Okay.
All animals.
Wait, why? When did animals get in here?
This is an animal hospital, sir.
Okay.
You,
that's
in
on
fact,
me.
Are married to this chicken.
What? Wow, what a day.
That's my definition of animal husbandry.
Oh.
I married men to chickens.
Oh, I thought I was learning how to take care of chickens.
You remember when you signed that paper that said on the top, I'm married now to a chicken?
I didn't read it.
Of course you didn't. No right. one ever does read the fine print.
You said it was on the top, though?
It's in the top in bold. But it's very thin. My definition of fine is thin.
Okay, I think that agree. A lot of Americans
makes
agree
sense,
with you
right?
there. Yeah,
fine
yeah.
print.
Yes,
it's the same
fine
thing.
Print.
As, same thing as embossing.
Okay.
It's a fine kind of printing.
Sure,
doesn't mean it's illegible.
Yeah,
I didn't say when people say read the fine print, they mean read what's illegible.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Hold on, I just gotta call my wife real quick. Hey, babe, our son's chin is gonna be good. I'm getting killed
and married to a chicken.
And that I also got married to
married
a chicken.
To a chicken first.
Yeah,
and then she gets all your.
Here,
benefits.
I'll just hand my phone over because he's shouting.
Hello,
hi.
Your husband is gonna be dead, and the chicken gets everything, but that also belongs to me now. I own the chickens. They're my indentured servants. And by that, I mean the chickens have false teeth. That they use to pleasure me. The teeth are made of rubber. They're very gummy teeth in the chicken's mouth. They are indentured with gummy teeth that they use on my privates. Don't ever call me.
And he skips a checkout. The point was that, so the only
what
point
was
I had,
the point?
Marianne Williamson was passionate about the poor. She was very passionate about poor people. And if someone, I don't think she's a chance to become president. I don't think she's done a good job of finding a singular issue like Andrew Yang has.
Right.
I don't think she's as crazy as she's portrayed in the press. She does not have my vote. That being said, it was still great to see someone, it was great to see. Both her and Penn hold each other accountable to their views, and it was a fascinating conversation.
Cool.
And if you can put aside your anger for that she's taking up space on the presidential run for it, do that. And the idea that this would be a thing that would turn you off about Penn, I think it's not, something that's not, just beautiful about him. That like he,
I want to have conversations with people that I don't agree with,
yeah.
And I want other people. If I'm going to listen to somebody talk, I want to hear them occasionally have those conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That didn't turn me off of him at all.
No, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I just was like, if there's anybody who's never afraid to put their views on the line or evolve or change their mind, it is him. He is better than that, than almost anyone I know.
I love having those conversations. Yeah. I've talked about that on the show before. I really love having conversations with people where we do not agree on something.
Yeah.
I was just having a great conversation with a random Russian acrobat the other day, and she and I were talking. We ended up just like sitting together over at a party, and she was like, "We have to do this more," because we were having a conversation about something that we did not agree on at all.
And this is the way conversations used to go before social media.
Yeah, we're both having a pleasant conversation.
Yeah,
and we like each other. We have a good time when we're around each other. And so we're having a nice conversation. It turns into something that we don't agree on, and we just hunkered down on that.
Yeah.
And we had a nice conversation. At the end of it, she's like, we're leaving. And she's like, we have to continue this conversation. Said, yes.
Yeah.
Next time we're around each other, we'll continue.
Hey, some podcasts have been like, newer podcasts have been mentioning us on Twitter, you know, looking for like kind of like co-podcast love and stuff like that. We haven't had Audio Jock versus Nerds in a while. So if you're a podcast and you have podcast listeners, send us an audio. Why are you giving me that look?
Because we have one today.
Oh, we do?
Not from a podcast, though.
Oh, okay. That's
it's
funny.
It's just a funny time to comment.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't come from another podcast, though.
Okay. We used to push it harder, but we love this. It's basically like pod therapy, kind of like.
They came into our orbit because they sent us an Audio Jock versus Nerd, right?
Yes. And that is
literally the way they came into our orbit,
and they benefited from it way better than they would have just getting a couple of retweets from us.
Yes.
So we love your fellow podcaster. You're listening. Great. Love it, and you know, you can even listen to today's audio. Listen to today's Jock versus Nerd to figure out how it works. But you can send you record a quiz for us to take part in.
Yep,
and then you get to plug your podcast.
Yeah, and say in the recording, say you know like, hey, pause it now. You know, give me audio cues in there, and it doesn't matter that other people can hear them. That's fine.
Yeah.
And send that to admin@mattandmattingly.com.
Yep.
You can send all that over there. And you can also, if you just want to send us a scoop mail, also admin@mattandmattingly.com.
Please do.
Or you can go to the home screen right there at heyscoops.com and send us one right through there.
I figured out one of my dad's biggest flaws.
Which is?
He hates Tom Hanks.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Do you know anyone who hates Tom Hanks?
I didn't think I did.
What from? What movie sent him off?
I have no idea.
I bet I know what it is.
Because it came to me secondhand.
I bet he had a big date to Bonfire of the Vanities. I bet you money. That's got to be. It's the only one. It's the only one that sticks in my craw.
Maybe he just loves when people actually get thrown into volcanoes. It doesn't like anyone who naysays
tease
throwing people into volcanoes. Just
throwing popcorn at the screen. Tease.
Maybe.
I only heard it from my younger brother Rob. It was after we all got together in Annapolis and my dad already left.
Huh.
And then we brought up like the Mr. Rogers thing, and I was like, I mean, what a home run is that?
Yeah. Right?
Most likable guy playing the most likable guy.
Mm-hmm.
My younger brother was like, Dad hates Tom Hanks. And I was like, what?
Hates like, him like personally?
Yeah, like I don't know. No, I don't know. I gotta figure it out, I guess.
Yeah.
I gotta call him and figure it out. I was the funniest thing. I was like, I literally don't know a person on earth who thinks Tom Hanks is terrible.
I know people who aren't excited when his movies come out.
That's different.
Sure. I'm saying that's the closest I got.
But like
Bosom Buddies. Too close to home. He was like, I did that in the 40s.
It's a ripoff.
I had to dress up like a lady.
And the pain is still real.
And who's the other guy? That's it. He's Peter, whoever the other guy was. What was his name?
I don't remember.
He ended up in Newhart, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Sudeikis.
No. He's a fan of that guy. And was like, he should have been the bosom buddy to get all the acclaim.
Maybe, because, I mean, your dad is he was a public defender for most of his career.
Yeah.
Maybe he ended up having to defend a lot of people who got ideas from the Bachelor Party movie and got arrested for like drunk and disorderly.
I like this. In fact, if you think you know why, I don't want to know if you don't like Tom Hanks. If you think you know why my dad doesn't like Tom Hanks, I want to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
At Sweet Manny D on Twitter or at Hey Scoop. At Hey Scoop, so can we retweet it?
Either way,
at us both. But I would love to hear your theories. I got it.
And you can tweet out at Audio Guy Jacob if you hate Tom Hanks. Because if you hate Tom Hanks, I want to hear about it and I want to hear why.
It's got to
be Bonfire
strange.
Of the Vanities.
I don't want to hear if you just don't like his movies. I want to hear if you actually dislike the person Tom Hanks.
Hate him. Yeah.
Could have been that dark turn on Family Ties as Drunk Uncle Ted.
The deep knowledge that Paul has of Tom Hanks' filmography.
I also know every time he brings it up, I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just forgot.
This is just Paul's
that
I would not
come up
with.
Tom Hanks has done everything.
Yeah, he just has done
everything.
He's
done everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, forget about it.
Woody,
for fuck's sake.
Well, that's it. He's the voice of Woody, so he's a cherished person in our house.
Icon.
Yeah.
Icon.
Oh, yeah. Like when The Simpsons had him cameo at the end.
Please,
leave
me
be. Movie.
So good. I have the Simpsons figure of Tom Hanks that goes with my... It's so great. Yeah, if you see my street, please.
Public Defender Donnelly is a much bigger fan of Apollo 14.
Ah, there you go.
That's it.
Yep.
That's the Apollo mission.
If you're going to make a movie of Apollos.
It's like, Houston, we have a problem. Your dad's like, you're goddamn right. They put you in the fucking movie.
The only Apollo I want to see on screen is Apollo Creed.
I want to see you apologize for putting Tom Hanks in that goddamn capsule.
The only thing big is my foot going up your ass for putting Tom
Hanks. That's it. Big is the one. Big is what threw him off.
Yeah.
He hates fortune teller machines.
Zoltar.
He paid for four kids to wish to be big. It was a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Every time we pushed the Zoltar machine, he had to fork it out.
Give me quarters. I love quarters.
Oh, Dave Donnelly hates Tom Hanks.
It is the strangest fact.
I feel like
my
world has been flipped.
It is the strangest thing.
Because he's
maybe it's Streets of Philadelphia because he knows what a big Springsteen fan you are. And he's like, my kid gonna be heaven now, just to be all cool with the Springsteenies.
Yep. No, Your dad loves.
He just hates him because as a Springsteen fan, it's like, oh. The synth and the loop phase of Springsteen's music. Get the E Street Band back together.
Your dad loves the disease AIDS and was mad that Philadelphia just
helped,
fucking naysayed it.
Yeah, helped bring attention to eradicating
it. Yep. You know who else loves AIDS? The following sponsor.
Hey, it's me, Terry. I'm a huge AIDS enthusiast, and I'm having AIDSCon. AIDSCon in Reno.
Oh, that's great, Terry. You're getting rid of AIDS?
Nope.
Wait, what?
Huge enthusiast. Love AIDS. Love AIDS being around. I think it's one of the coolest diseases I know.
But we've been trying to get rid of it.
It can be HIV. It can be Ebola. It's got a lot of different places it can go. Love me the AIDS.
That's right. It's AIDSCon 2019. AIDS. All AIDS all day.
Yeah.
That's it. No, just AIDS.
It won't be at a casino in Reno. Nobody wants that much AIDS in their casino. So it's going to be at this buffet. It's the hometown buffet. We're renting it out.
Buffets.
Don't worry. We have a sneeze guard.
Peter Sneeze Guard. He's our special guest.
Enter Hayes Group to check out.
Peter Sneeze Guard. Peter Sneeze Guard is great.
Did SNL do that when Sarsgaard was on?
Oh, I don't think
they
so.
They did Sarsgaard.
Yeah, they did Sarsgaard.
That's
yeah.
pretty good.
Ah. Yeah.
Sneezeguard.
Yeah.
Peter Sneezeguard.
By the way, our sponsors don't reflect our personal feelings on AIDS.
Not at all.
No!
That was
For instance, we know that you can't transmit AIDS through sneezing.
Well, you know, since I was about...
Terry didn't know that.
No.
17 or 18,
yeah.
My birthday has been World AIDS Day. So.
Oh, right. There you go.
Hooray.
Hooray. Well, the Columbine shooting didn't happen on your birthday.
Did it happen on yours?
Yeah.
Boy, lucky guys we are.
Oh, what's happened on my birthday?
Horrible things happen all the time. I've had a lot of... The Revolutionary War that shot her around the world was my birthday.
Was it?
Yeah.
Weird. Gun stuff on your birthday. Huh?
Yeah, a lot of gun stuff. There's other stuff, too, because there's other stuff that shares times with Columbine.
Massive viral death on my birthday, I guess.
All right. I think we should get into some scoop mail.
Yeah, we might as well.
Physical scoop mail. Whoa. Physical scoop mail. Zippity doo. We got mail in a box.
I love it. Look at that. It's an actual box.
We have a nice
Christmas wrapping.
Wrapped physical scoop
that
mail.
That's beautiful.
This comes to us from the fellows over at Pod Therapy. But specifically, It comes to us. Is this to Matt, Paul, Jacob, and I can't tell what that says at the end. The late something. From Jim's Bat Mom.
Oh boy.
Oh, Jim's Bat Mom.
Bat Mom.
Jim went and visited his mom for Thanksgiving, and so she sent us a gift here.
The wrapping paper has cute penguins on it.
It does.
Decorating Christmas trees.
I asked if it was just a box of guano.
It's not.
I was like, if your mom just embraced the bit wholly and went and got a box of guano and just sent it to us, then she would just be my hero.
That's pretty incredible. But yeah.
And so it is 3 Pod Therapy travel coffee mugs.
Travel coffee mugs.
Yeah. And I believe she made these.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Those are fancy.
Thank you, Jim's Bat Mom. We will travel and drink coffee in your honor.
Those were definitely delivered by airmail.
Yes.
Yeah.
By a
in
bat.
The talons
by
of a bat.
The talons of a bat.
Yep. Yeah, that's very kind of you. And I want everyone to know, in the spirit of the holidays, when we say that Jim's mom is a bat, we are, of course, kidding. She's not always a bat.
Yeah, exactly.
She transforms into a bat.
She's a part-time bat.
Yeah, yeah. So just, you know, keep in mind that we are in jest when we say
very
that Jim's
few
mom
people
is a bat.
Are always a bat.
Yeah.
Always a bat. I wish I was always a bat.
I didn't know where that was going either.
Part-time bat was where I was going. But
ah, part-time bat.
Ah, there we go. Yeah.
Oh, I went always a bat.
Yeah, fine. I think you nailed it.
Success.
She's my part-time bat mother.
There you go.
We got one from Closet Scoop.
He and she, part-time bat mothers.
While in university, I would often study for exams in empty classrooms, which by the end of the day would be stinky with food waste and farts. One evening, instead of opening a window...
Wait, an empty classroom is filled with farts and food?
Study for exams in an empty classroom, which by the end of... I guess, like, other people would also go in there?
So after the day is done, maybe it's just empty, I would go in there.
Or it wasn't empty all day.
Maybe he's in there stinking it up.
That's what I'm curious. That's
what it sounds like, right?
Two ways to interpret it, yeah.
Yeah. One evening, instead of opening a window to air out the room, I decided to light some incense and go get a coffee.
This is him. Oh, my God. That's a terrible idea.
I made sure to close the classroom door and, came back to the sound of fire alarms at the sight of fire trucks.
Fire!
The best part is that each step was carefully thought out and planned as a great idea. After all, I had brought the incense from home. I did consider just walking away and not stepping up as the dumbass who set off the fire alarm, but I really needed my class notes to study. In the end, you'd left your notes in the room. In the end, I ended up with a stern warning and was not charged for the fire call out, but was mainly just really embarrassed.
Whoa.
That's the Closet Scoop.
That is hilarious, and that is embarrassing, and that is what college is for.
Yeah, that's it.
To set off smoke detectors.
Well, my brother Brian, who will never remember saying this, and I thought it was the most wise, one of the most sage things he's ever said, was he goes, you go to college just to not be a fucking idiot.
Yes.
He goes, you could try to enter the world at 18, but just like you're just so many things about you that you're just dumb that you don't know when you are 18.
Take a few years.
So you go somewhere else, you get out of your house, you go somewhere else for the first time in your life, and you figure out how much of a monster idiot you are to live with.
You're only semi-supervised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like a trial run.
Yeah.
Minor league for the real world.
You have some professors that are keeping an eye on you, but not all the time.
Nope.
Yeah. And then you try to give the real world another try at 20, 21.
Yeah.
And that's what college is for.
Nah, makes sense.
He's like, what you major in doesn't matter.
Go live in a dorm for a few months.
Yeah.
You've got an RA there that is gonna keep you in line to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's great advice.
I like it.
Yep.
But so I'm glad you didn't get charged. I'm glad people gave you like this is the idiot run.
Get
you
out.
You did your idiot run.
Yeah.
I bet you never lit incense and left the room ever again.
I wouldn't.
I just discovered the other day that I've been living in a house for just over a year with one working smoke detector.
Oh. And you've been doing a lot of work on your house.
Oh, yeah. And I do things like build fires.
Yeah.
So I've ordered new smoke detectors. Expensive.
They are expensive, especially because you want to get the ones that don't need to change the batteries on or whatever.
Yeah, I got the ones that the battery's supposed to last for 10 years.
Yeah.
My house is not wired for the interconnected smoke detectors.
Yeah. I have battery ones too, and fuck, when they start to go, it's the most frustrating and annoying thing because you can't tell which one's going.
Right. So these are, I got smart ones. I got smart Nest.
Nest!
You smoke detectors.
You went for Nest ones?
I got the Nest smoke detectors.
How are you supposed to not get sexy ass Nest?
I guess.
I'm going to have nests all over my ceiling.
That Nest, though.
Yep.
That Nest. Get that Nest.
The good thing about these is I did a lot of research on them because there are a lot of smart smoke detectors out there.
Uh-huh.
I want them to be interconnected, but I don't want to have to go up into the ceiling and run wires all through the catacomb that is my house.
Yeah, Bluetooth.
And they connect to each other wirelessly, and they connect to my phone. Because my big thing was, I was like, if a smoke detector goes off on like that far end of my house, and I'm in my bedroom or even the living room or something like that, I'm not going to know it.
Yeah.
And so if they go off, it sends a thing to your phone and everything, so it tells you which one's going off. It also tells you which, it lets you label them digitally. And so when the battery starts to go out, it says like kitchen smoke detector.
That's
battery
the big
going
thing
out.
Is that, like, I go nuts. I'm looking at like four different smoke detectors waiting for earshot, and then they don't beep enough.
Right.
Often to, for you to figure out which one it
is. And the way they beep, it kind of throws it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sound makes my poor dog Pirate go insane.
Yeah, it makes me go insane. Me and Pirate have a lot in common.
It's true. Ninja used to lose his mind. Our old dog used to lose his mind if a smoke detector beeped at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember we came home one time after being at work, and the smoke detector had started doing the low battery chirp, and we got home, and our dog was hoarse from just barking at the smoke. I was like, I didn't know dogs could go hoarse.
Yeah.
And he's like, like, oh no.
He's done. Yeah. Pirate just
like, sorry, buddy.
Terrified. He won't bark at it. He just gets terrified.
Yeah. Oh, so bad.
Starts shaking uncontrollably.
But yeah, so I just spent like $400 on smoke detectors.
Oh, yeah. But it's a Nest, though. You got
But it's that Nest.
You got fuckable smoke detectors.
Yep. We got one
here
on the brain scan. Yep. Hello, fellows of the churn. One night in the middle of the night, I was awakened by one of my dogs wanting to go outside. Sleepily, I got up, let them both outside, and went back to bed. You'll notice I never let the dogs back in. I woke up about 4 hours later and noticed the same thing. Fortunately, it wasn't too cold out, so my dogs were fine. And aside from a few holes in the dirt, the yard was no worse either.
Oh,
Matt,
that's good.
You're not the only smart idiot. Loves and kisses. That's the brain scoop.
I think that's the highest compliment I've ever gotten.
I can't wait for the day when I have a backyard I can let my dogs out into.
Yes.
Oh, sweet mamma jamma.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
Let's see. Chipanda 1 in the chat says, Newman's Fire Safety Minute, sleep with your door closed. It could save your life.
Sleep with your door closed?
Is that right?
Why is that, Chipanda 1?
Whoa, this is some hot chat we're getting.
Yeah.
Does that keep the smoke from coming in, your room
a little bit more?
I guess that's true.
Maybe.
So I definitely don't sleep with my door closed.
No, we always sleep with ours open.
Yeah, we do too.
We're killing ourselves, guys.
Guys, maybe. We're stupid.
We're stupid idiots. We got one here while Chipanda 1 is writing back. We got one here from Princess Scoopia. Hi, Masters of the Churn. I have a question for you.
Yes, ask away.
What are your...
I hear you, Scoopia. Go ahead.
What are your, quote, that's all I need to know about yous, end quote.
Oh.
These are defining behaviors that tell you all you need to know about strangers in an instant. Looking forward to your responses. That's Princess Scoopia. That's interesting because SJ tells me this all the time. I sum up really fast.
Whether I
like somebody or not, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I've got to think about this now. What the
treatment
are.
Treatment of customer service people?
Great,
or
that's
wait
a good
staff.
One. Yeah,
that solidifies it for me.
That's a good one.
I used to ride horses competitively in high school. Would be one for me. I feel like I know all I need to know about you there.
So
it does.
So
that
Moxie,
does say a lot.
You just every time you see Moxie now, you just shake your head at her.
That's why I feel bad. I was like, oh my god, Penn doesn't even know it, but he's got a crazy horse chick for a daughter.
Oh yeah, he does.
It's tough.
Chipanda one says, the closed door stops fires and I guess the smoke too.
Okay,
all right,
yeah. Oh yeah, Uatar says, fires can't go through doors. It's not a ghost. Fair.
That makes sense.
All right, so what else? So treatment of customer service people, whether they were a horse person growing up.
Trying to think what else. I feel like I have these things. I got to remember them, though.
If they tell me something super personal about themselves
way
immediately,
early. Yeah,
then I'm probably... It's not that I hate them, but I'm not interested in being
it's
around
a good
them.
Good indicator.
If they told me they won any acting or theater awards in high school, I feel like that's all I need
like
to
in
know.
The first conversation.
Hey,
but you don't. We had to get that out of you, and it was a joke that's when you brought it up.
True.
We're not talking ever.
And that wasn't even an award for acting. It was for the spirit
for
of the drama
spirit
club.
Of the drama club. We were busting each other's balls when we were rehearsing with Spadoni. That was different.
Right.
Yeah.
It was not like I've known you for years at that point before you started talking about awards.
This was not first conversation.
That's true. I won awards too, but I don't go with like, well, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Hey.
When I got best actor in high school, I knew I was gonna fucking blah blah blah.
Oi, oi, oi.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. Let's see. There's gotta be some other things in there.
Racist tattoos tells me a lot.
Yeah,
if you have a racist tattoo,
sure.
I'm pretty sold on. Yeah, what's
mean,
going on.
Paul still hangs out with you, but he knows a little something about you.
I mean, he'll still check out at your
well. There's levels.
At Walmart.
There's levels.
Yep.
Oh, there's levels. Yeah, none of this means like dismiss. It just makes me know everything
like,
I need to know about.
Do you have a tattoo of General Lee or of the General Lee?
Yeah.
Both. Check. Both questionable.
That was me farting, and I just lit incense afterward.
Gesundheit.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you, for my southern the people I grew up with in the South, if they refer to the flag as the Confederate flag and say like, oh, this is a heritage, is a symbol of heritage, and all this stuff. Yeah, that tells me a lot about you real fast.
If you're from Jersey and you say pork roll or you say Taylor ham, that's all I need to know.
Yep.
Oh.
Doesn't mean I hate either one of you.
Right.
It just tells me all I need to know.
Oh, if I talk to you in Louisiana and you say the word soda, if you don't just call everything a Coke.
Yeah.
Exactly. Everything in Louisiana is just a Coke. So your Dr. Pepper is a type of Coke.
You're not native, right?
Right. Which I have to remind myself to say when I'm down there. I have to remind myself to call it a Coke.
I remember talking to my wife. She's from California. The strangest thing was that they don't use the word I when describing roads, and everyone on the East Coast does.
Yes.
And so sometimes you say, like,
it's
I took
the 15.
Yeah, I took the 5. I took the 15.
Yeah.
And you instantly know geographically. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I've
been on the West Coast for about 15 years now, and I say the 15 or the 215 or whatever.
And it clicks back as soon as I'm back in Jersey. I'll say I-95 or I'll say whatever.
Right.
But yeah.
Also, freeway versus interstate.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I've never said freeway.
I say freeway.
I've never said freeway except
you say
for
interstate?
Aretha Franklin's Freeway of Love.
Except when you do that at karaoke?
Yeah. That's one of my go-tos.
Sure.
Cadillac.
There's a thing in like, I think it was even in the Times. But it was like we can know where you're from if you answer these 10 questions. And one of them is like, hey, you see a bug, and it can roll up into a little ball.
Pill bug.
What do you call it?
Pill bug.
Roly poly.
Roly poly or pill bug.
And I call it a potato bug.
Yeah. Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
we got three different ones.
Well, that's it. So like, it was like the regional accuracy
exactly,
of just that thing was like crazy.
Yeah.
Same with lightning bugs, fireflies, that kind of stuff.
There were definitely lightning bugs for us.
Right. There were fireflies for us.
Fireflies.
Anyone who starts with the sentences of like,
forever.
Look, I'm a smart guy. I think I know everything I need to know there.
Fireflies are still out there, right? Fireflies haven't gone extinct, yeah?
No, they're still around.
They're just very... small window, right? They're just summertime.
Yeah.
And I think geographically very...
isolated?
I don't think we have enough humidity for them here.
Not a lot of polar lightning bugs.
No.
The polar bugs.
The northern lightning bugs?
Are you watching Watchmen? No, you don't get HBO, right?
No, I don't have HBO. I'm listening to Watchmen. I'm checking out Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's amazing soundtrack work.
Yeah, soundtrack work is really good.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a couple of big battles on and like things that resulted in hundreds of thousands of deaths on my birthday.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
I've got December 18th, 1916, World War I, the Battle of Verdun.
Okay.
Concluded.
Verdun here.
After about 10 months of fighting. Right around a million French and German soldiers were killed in that battle. And in 1940, on my birthday, Adolf Hitler ordered the German staff to begin planning Operation Barbarossa, is what it looks like, which was the invasion of the Soviet Union.
Wow.
So a lot of people died in that. So there we go.
There you go.
I mean, every birthday's got a lot of Blood of the Ancients on it.
It's true.
I think Oklahoma City bombing, I think, was also.
Oh, my God. Your birthday?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
There's got to be some other good things that happened on December 18th.
Well, really, it's stuff that happened while you were alive is the one that those are the weird ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember, like, look, it's like I have memories of, like, my birthday looking up at TV screens and be like, oh, shoot.
That's awful.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that's awful.
That's a doozy.
I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday, I think. They were telling me how the doctors had scheduled his wife's birth, the C-section, for September 11th. He was like, Can we do a different day?
Can we just any... how much wiggle room is on this?
Yeah.
Medical necessity. How much wiggle room do I have?
The doctor was like, well, we've already scheduled it.
Oh, that's funny.
And apparently he had to kind of fight to get that moved.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's strange.
He's like, I don't want my child's birthday.
There's not a whole lot of planned cesareans on that day.
I bet not.
I would think not.
I bet not.
There's a couple.
Although
that are planned.
There are some unplanned ones. I mean, they must have felt that way if you were born on D-Day and stuff. There must have been times where that felt...
Right.
Yeah, after a while it gets...
Yeah, like
it,
I feel
it,
like
it gets less.
By the time you really care, I don't think it'll be as much of a thing.
No.
Right.
Once you're 50,
yeah,
nothing matters then, right? Nothing matters.
Nothing matters. I mean, I don't give a shit about my birthday at all now, do you?
Oh, no.
No.
I mean, I like it, but it's not... No, but I mean, like, just in general, nothing matters after 50, right? Like, just in all things, right? Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, my wife cares about my birthday now. She wants to do things for my birthday.
That's very nice. What a good partner she is.
Yeah. But she always kind of... If she plans something, she just plans it.
Yeah.
And says, hey, we're doing something for your birthday. Like, oh, great.
That's cool. Yeah.
But I'm also content not doing anything.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my greatest birthday celebration is not doing shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I guess I care about my birthday and they're like, yeah, don't ask me to do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That I don't want to do.
Like, I don't want it to be an unpleasant day.
We got to re-shingle the roof.
Yeah.
On your birthday.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah. Oh, I put down some wallpaper yesterday.
Look at you.
First time I've ever put in wallpaper.
I didn't know that people still did that.
We had this small little wall that we were like, oh, some wallpaper.
What
on
kind?
This, on this little wall. It has birds on it. It's two-dimensional
just
images
bird
of birds that are flying straight up the wall.
Three-dimensional images of birds would be impressive.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. You walk by, you're like, hologram, I made a bird! Aviary!
What do they call that bumpy wallpaper?
Textured wallpaper?
I guess.
Yeah?
You guess. That's what they call it.
Do they?
I believe they just call it that, yeah.
What about, like, stuff that's like a topographical map?
I believe they call that a map.
3D.
Did
you put
actual land?
Did you land wallpaper over like a mannequin? That'd be funny.
Did not wallpaper over a mannequin.
That'd be good to do.
Like you cemented someone into the wall.
Yeah, that'd be cute.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah,
Han Solo with bird wallpaper.
Yeah, I did. Put some bird wallpaper and some new shelves.
Oh,
look at Jacob go.
Show us a visual wallpaper.
That audio podcast. Shelves. Look at you go.
That's right.
Look at
doing
you
a, go. Doing a poll bit here.
Looks good.
Everybody, look at my phone.
Looks good. Looks good. Looks like some thought went into
that. Let's see. We got, what do we want to do here? Let's do a Jock versus Nerd.
All
right. Audio one, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
You want to do a little Jock versus Nerd action?
Oh, am I?
Fuck yeah.
I'm on the hunt for balls. On the hunt for balls.
We got one here from, I believe, from XGD Falcon.
Oh, nice.
And this is the Fandom Super Show, Jock versus Nerd for the Ice Cream Social. Maybe this is about a podcast.
Wow.
I haven't listened to this, so I don't know. We'll find out together.
Whoa.
Yeah. We can see video.
Fandom, a subculture composed of fans characterized by a feeling of empathy and camaraderie with others who share a common interest.
That's not his voice.
Hello, gentle fellows.
That's his voice.
My name is Larry Latouf, also known as XGD Falcon, and I'm here to provide you with a very special video, Jock vs. Nerd, and also to shamelessly plug my new web series, The Fandom Super Show.
There we go.
No matter what you happen to be a fan of, you own the relationship you have with the creators and their creations. Scoops have proven that time and time again with our meetups and events that don't even include you three.
Right.
That's true. Ownership of the personal relationship is what inspired my show. Let's get on with the quiz. I have three jock and three nerd trivia questions, each to be asked by a special guest. So, each question is worth 2 points with a twist. For example, Matt will get a jock question. If his answer Paul feels is incorrect, Paul can try to steal. If Paul tries to steal and is incorrect, he loses a point. Ooh. If Matt is correct, he gets 2 points. If Paul is correct, he gets 1 point and Matt gets zero.
All right, somebody break out the abacus.
And okay. As always, in the event of a tie, Jacob
Thompson
wins.
Books in the background.
Yeah.
Jacob, I've also put pause screens throughout the video.
Great.
To give the boys a chance to answer the question.
Good.
So you'll be cued by that.
Thank you.
Let's get on with round one.
Let's.
First, a jock question for Matt from A Familiar Face.
I really hope it's just Larry again.
The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling was syndicated in what
Rebecca
year
Johnson.
And headquartered in what U.S. city?
Wait a minute.
Did you hear the question?
No, I was. She was the best man at my wedding. I was surprised to see her face.
The Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling was syndicated in what year and headquartered in what U.S. city?
Year and city.
Mm-hmm. So syndicated in what year and based out of what city?
Las Vegas is the city.
Okay.
Yes. The year, I mean, I watched the show. But I know the show's not. I didn't watch the documentary yet. I met a woman who was actually in GLOW at Thanksgiving. She was kind of like a little embarrassed about it. I was like, you should be feeling fantastic about it.
There's a woman that teaches at UNLV.
Yeah.
That was one of the gorgeous ladies of
this
wrestling.
This person apparently is like a kick-ass attorney at the moment.
Oh, so interesting.
She was like, no, it's okay. I don't need to talk about GLOW.
This might be the same woman, because I think the woman that I'm thinking of teaches at the UNLV Law School.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Might be the same person.
It can't be two different people.
Can't be.
I want to say 1980. Just 80.
Okay.
I'm going to go with 1980.
Okay. Paul, you confident in 80 and Vegas?
I am not confident in 80, but I don't know the date, so I'm not confident in stealing.
So there will be no attempt to steal?
No.
All right. Let's find out. The answer is 86.
Oh, wow.
Las Vegas,
that
Nevada.
Was, of course, Rebecca Johnson, most famous for being Matt's best man and a small hit Netflix series called GLOW. I hope you did well on that one, Matt. Okay, Paul.
I didn't.
Here's your first question.
You got 50%.
From a very, very dear friend of mine.
Question number two. Question for Paul.
What Sid and Marty production had a show in the 70s that was number one, by the way? A show again in the 90s, same show, and then a motion picture in the 2000s. Guess what that is?
Land of the Lost.
I was going to say, I think I know it, yeah. I think it is Land of the Lost. The answer is... Land of the Lost.
Oh, man, that song.
That was Kathleen Coleman from the original Land of the Lost. She played Holly Marshall in that timeless series. Catch my interview with her on the Fandom Super Show, episode 4, I believe, towards the end of the year.
Very cool.
Matt, your second question comes from someone I hope you recognize.
My dad.
I hope it's your dad. Boy, do I hope it's your dad.
Hey, guys, it's me. Okay. Hey guys, it's me, Sarah, local sports fanatic and most knowledgeable about all things football and Super Bowl. just a regular old almanac of sorts. Just here to ask you a quick question about a team that plays the ball afoot. What year was the New York Giants created? When did they start? What do you think, Keeler? You want to toss me the ball again? Because I'm so good at catching. Toss me the ball.
So you can't, those of you on the audio version, you don't see my wife getting pelted with footballs by my children. And also, that is my backyard, and you can see one of the gifts of a Scoop gave us, that the blow-up dragon floating in the background.
Oh, nice!
The giant floating dragon. Oh,
New
shit.
New York Giants, founded what year?
Well, they were one of the first eight franchises. I know that, but I don't know when. Okay. And I know the original purchasing price was $500. I know that.
1712.
It
was by the Mara family, but I don't know the actual year.
Paul, get ready to steal. Paul's just salivating over there.
Like, if I knew what Super Bowl year was, I know that we didn't, the Super Bowl era is a whole separate era that doesn't count as part of the championships. Oh, fuck.
1980.
With Tom Hanks's
We're
foot.
Not here to start no trouble.
Do I have to answer? Or there's no passing? Or
I think you just have to answer.
I'm going to guess 38.
Ooh, good guess.
All right, let's see here. And the answer is 1925.
Matt's wonderful wife, the amazing Sarah Lowe, was kind enough to suspend her boycott of being on ICS for me. So thank you, Sarah. Matt, I hope you got the question right. Okay, Paul. Your second question comes from a friend of mine by the name of Rick Goldschmidt. Rick is the official historian and author for Rankin Bass Productions.
Oh, wow.
Take it away, Rick.
Hi, this is Rick Goldschmidt, the official Rankin Bass historian biographer, amazing, with a trivia question for you today about Rankin Bass's Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Okay.
We all know the Burgermeister Meisterburger, voiced by Paul Frees. And
sure.
Paul Frees also voiced his little henchman, the little soldier that was his second in command. What was his name?
Oh, he called him Dummy.
What was the name of
I
the
think
second
his
in
name
command?
Was, I think his name was Dummy.
You want to go with Dummy? Let's go with Dummy. The answer is...
His name was actually Grinsley.
Oh.
G-R-I-N-Z.
Grinsley.
L-E-Y.
Oh.
Okay, Paul, I think that was a softball, so I hope you got it.
No, I didn't.
We're
I
on to
Grinsley.
Round three, the final
Terrible.
Round. Okay, Matt. Brushwood was originally going to help me with this question, and he seemed pretty excited about it. But after two or three emails back and forth, he stopped responding. I think he got busy, but most likely I'm just ghosted. So then next I was arranging for Steve Yzerman to help out. He's famous Detroit Red Wings captain who's now back with the team in management. So he was going to help me ask another sports question. Well, he couldn't help me in time. I wanted to get this to you sooner. So then I moved on and I had to find a new friend. So this is a fairly new friend that's going to ask this question.
All right, question five for Matt. He needs this question.
Hey, it's Lauren Lapkus.
Oh,
I have a
gosh.
Question. The only Canadian team in the NBA, the Toronto Raptors, formed in 1995. What former bad boy was their first general manager?
Wait, I'm not even closely friends with Lauren Lapkus. How did he get Lauren Lapkus?
That's awesome. She's cool.
She's very cool. She was supposed to actually do our Vegas show.
We're not friends with most of the people he's shown on here.
No, but on me, he was doing a pattern. That was pretty, but that also wasn't
That's
like
true.
A, and she wasn't at like a con. The other ones are from like conventions.
Right. I don't know.
Good job, is what I'm saying.
Good job, Larry.
She's great. We've met
man,
several
Larry.
Times, but I don't.
Yeah.
We're not pals.
She got to be in a They Might Be Giants video. That's what I'm most jealous of for her. That's amazing.
So who was the first GM for the Raptors?
First GM for the Raptors.
So it was a bad boy. So I think it was P. Diddy. But that might be because I've been listening to a podcast about Tupac lately.
No, I think she means like a Pistons bad boy.
No,
or anything.
I think so.
Yeah. It's not Joe Dumars, but
it's
Joe
Lambeer.
Dumars. It's Lambeer, I think, right?
It's got to be.
I think it's Bill Lambeer.
Okay. I think it is too.
The answer is
Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, he was the other one.
Yeah, it was Isaiah. It was Big Isaiah.
That was Lauren Lapkus. She probably wasn't exactly sure what I was saying when I contacted her, but anyway, thank you for helping out. And check out her new podcast. It's pretty good. Okay, Paul, for your last question, I apologize, but the guest actually picked the question. So it's a little difficult, but at least it's multiple choice.
Okay.
All right, let's see here. Question 6 for Paul.
Here we go. Question. Who was not a guest star on Sigmund and the Sea Monsters? A. Jack Wild. B. David Cassidy. Or C. Margaret Hamilton. The answer coming up.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to say Cassidy was not on.
All right, let's see. The answer is...
And the answer is... B.
No, I got it.
David Cassidy was on the Partridge Family.
Right.
And was not on my show.
That was grown-up Johnny Whitaker of Family Affair and Sigmund and the Sea Monsters fame.
Amazing.
Make sure you check out my interview with him coming sometime at the beginning of 2020.
Sweet.
Well, that's it. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. Also, I'm assuming Jacob won, but I'm really anxious to find out how the score worked out. Make sure to check out my show, The Fandom Super Show, debuting December 9th. Also, for the scoops that would like to see the video for the Jock vs. Nerd, it'll be hosted on thefandomsupershow.com with password, all capitals, fuck Gladwell. So please, check it out. I'd really appreciate it, and I'd really appreciate your help in checking out my brand new show, like I said, starting December 9th. And I had a lot of fun making this, so I hope you had fun playing it. See you soon.
Oh, we got a little video of Matt dancing here at the end.
Oh, very nice. We'll put that up for people to see.
Why are you doing the Bill Cosby dance? Why were you doing the Bill Cosby dance?
It's actually really funny.
It's a bit.
Was that at the old Bucket Show?
Yeah. It was the old Bucket Show, and I was dancing not to Bill Cosby music at the time, Cosby Show music at the time.
No, I assumed that part.
But yeah.
But it was a Cosby
dance. But you were definitely doing the Cosby dance.
Good job, Larry.
Larry, thank you so much. That was awesome. Everybody go check out his new show.
I just clicked away from the link. What was it called? The Fandom Super Show. The
Fandom Super Show.
Yeah.
And we'll make sure when those episodes are up, Larry, we'll give a plug for
links. Yes. So check out thefandomsupershow.com.
And thanks to getting all those cool people to ask us questions.
Yeah, that was very cool.
And by the way, for the official record, Paul won.
Yeah. Good job, Paul.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd win getting none of the answers correct.
Sweet victory. I guess
I'll have to let that calculation
sink Matt,
in.
So you didn't think that you were going to win with none of the answers correct?
Yes.
I'm afraid that's correct. Matt, you win.
Yeah, look at me go.
Yeah.
I want to thank Aaron Tremberth. Oh, also, I want to thank Pendulette for creating this podcast.
Thanks, Ben.
I want to thank Aaron Tremberth, who I suddenly think is more important than Pendulette.
I want to give a big thank you to Brandon Pugh, who only uses crystals to heal his eyes.
I want to thank Creamer Adam, who uses eyes to heal his crystals.
Brendan Lounsbury is in the Land of the Lost.
I want to thank Slightly Scooped, who was in the weird Zelda cartoon.
Galusha Scoop. They are slowly climbing Mount Everest.
I want to thank Rule Scooptania, who is originally supposed to be in Rule and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Brian Chambers, make sure you pick the right Chambers.
I want to thank Alex Reich, commander of the Awesome Town Brigade.
Brian Davis, secretly Pooper Man.
I want to thank Alfonso Gerardo Garcia Diaz Barriga, secretly a Satan.
Scoop du jour, that is the scoop of the day. The scoop du jour today is wheat with tomato basil.
I want to thank Amber King, formerly known as Yellow Queen.
Brian Maddox. He's Maddox as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I want to thank Andrea Anderson of the Anderson Chronicles.
Brian Richard, fastest man alive.
I want to thank Andrew Hillhouse of the Hill House Still Has Eyes.
Brian Rosen, looking through the world through rosen-colored glasses.
You may remember Andrew Howes from the TV show How's Do You Like Me Now?
Brian Terrell of House Terrell. He always plays his debts.
I want to thank Andrew Johnson from Johnson's Schlonsons, a sausage company.
Brian Davis, who is teaching you how the sausage gets made.
I want to thank Frozen Cusser of the Evil Genius Cussers.
Other Brian Davis, who is the main ingredient of the sausage.
I want to thank Andrew Osachuk. Chuck me the ball, Dad. I'm open. Oh, Dad doesn't live here anymore.
Brian Gregston, the king of the bricklayers.
Andrew Spencer, queen of the bricklayers.
Brian K. Traves. Traves are what you hide in when you're being snowball fought.
Andy Cheever, star of the 80s sitcom Over Achiever.
Pralines and Dick, the new flavor from Ben and Jerry's.
I want to thank Angela Chan, star of Private Dick for Dicks.
Kitty Cone, like a cat out of hell.
Ant Foods, star of Food Ants.
Cameron Hall, you've probably got Biology 101 in Cameron Hall.
Food Ants if you want to. Anthony Knowlton. Knowlton? Knowlton, I'll say. Do I pronounce the K? Knowlton.
I think that's it.
Yeah. Owner of the fabulous, of a fabulous Ferrari.
Cameron Kiddo, star of Kill Bill as the bride.
Anton Jernberg, played Chucky in movies besides the Chucky movies.
Cameron Preby. Oh, he's a Preby. Look how sweet. Oh, he's like 3 months ahead of time.
Andrew Chousty. Just played the lion in The Lion King.
Carl Reamer. Reamer, I hardly knew her.
Scoop Dreams, crushed by facts.
Refrigerator Periscope, if you collect 4 proofs of purchase and mail away with $1.95, you will get a Refrigerator Periscope figure with a football on a chain mace.
Osti Spumoni, come over and blow me.
Carolyn Albert. Royal Albert Hall.
The Scoop Crone, star of Cronetown.
Scoopaluga, Scoopaluga.
Adam Kowalshin. I'm about to unplug the laundry machine. Make sure you get your Kowalshin.
Cesar Olivares goes well with a delicious martineries.
Scoop Chang Beijing Bugle, home of corny goodness.
Campbell's Tomato Scoop. He did it.
BJ Joyer, who rode horses competitively in high school.
Charles Eaton, inventor of the root canal.
Ben Kapal, who is part of the tag team Shock and Kapal.
The Micro Scoop, digging for clues into the Scoop fandom.
Ben Gao, Gu Gut Gen Guer and Gao.
Scoop Bucky, Captain Scoop Bucky O'Hare.
Ben Roberts, Pirate Roberts.
Freehold Scoop. If you don't have a freehold, you may fall off the side of the mountain.
Ben Sherman Scoop, inventor of the fish tank.
A scoop of root canal, perfecter of the root canal.
Bill Reese, inventor of the false tooth.
Chris Ellis, writer of amazing comic books.
Scoopiter Ascending, inventor of the gypsy ring where you pour poison into someone else's drink through a pinky ring.
Chris Fisher, fishes only for Chris's.
Nola Scope, who considers Dr. Pepper a type of Coke.
Gasman Scoop, the X is for extra.
Boba Scoop, whose tapioca balls are worth fondling.
Scoop to Maloo, go ahead and bow to your corner, bow to your partner. Square up.
Bobby Becerra doesn't have a Kara in the world.
Christine Elliser, the force is strong with that one.
Brad Leclerc, surprisingly not a Canadian hockey player.
Scoopaholic, this is an intervention.
Bradley Iverson, surprisingly not a Mormon basketball player.
Oh, and apparently that was Brent Mukai doing the voiceover at the beginning of that video.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We don't recognize Brent Mukai's amazing professional voiceover voice.
It was really good.
Yeah, that was great.
Really good voiceover voice.
Yeah, and I don't have a list this week, so I will thank everyone who contributed to our Patreon. Thank you very much. If you want to contribute to our Patreon and help us keep the lights on here in the old churn, head over to preachingfun.com. And as little as $2 a month, you can start helping us out. And we'd really appreciate it. It'd be great. If you haven't done that, I don't know. Think about doing it. Maybe what we're doing is better than free. Maybe not. Probably not. But maybe.
But think about it, though.
Yeah. Put some thought into
Preachingfun.com.
it.
Preachingfun.com.
Yeah. And, of course, you can head over to HeyScoops.com. Send us a scoop mail. Please do that. We're starting to run low on scoop mail. Scrape the bottom of the old barrel on scoop mail here.
The holidays are coming up. We'll take Christmas stories.
Yep. We love family stories, Christmas stories. And as always, work stories, Italian air shows, all that kind of stuff.
Nightmare dates, bad work stories.
All great. We love all of it.
All of those things.
Yeah, head over to HeyScoops.com. Send us one of those scoop mails there. And, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else?
That's it. We thank you guys so much for being a listener, and we'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
It's time, fellas. It's time for the drums. Rule Scooptania would like a limerick about Breaking Bad. That's a pretty good show. Dedicated to TV junkie Scoops.
Say it again?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Sure do love me some meth. I hope you can't smell it in my breath. But my breath sure is ripe as I suck on that pipe until I end my life in death.
Right. Hey, does anybody know, does meth breath have a smell?
Meth breath?
Yes.
I bet it does.
What is it, Jacob? It
smells like meth.
Okay.
Burned meth.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, all right.
Scoop du jour would like a limerick about Thai food, dedicated to the best food in the world. Any other questions for me could be directed to me.
Thai food.
I was trying to be real sly about dinner for my wife and I. I said, any place that you like. And then I said, psych. We agreed, and it ended in a tie.
The Microscoop would like a limerick about Baby Yoda. Baby Yoda.
Also known as the child, not actually Yoda.
Got it.
I haven't watched the show yet.
It's not going to end up being Yoda. It's just going to be another
character. It's not Yoda. Like... It's just the child. It's just the character's called the child. It's just of his race.
Okay.
Of his species.
Great.
But it's too late. The
That's what you get for asking a question.
The thing is out of the gate. It's called it's Baby Yoda.
Oh, it's Baby Yoda.
Yeah.
All right. Baby Yoda limerick.
Yep.
So cute, so squishy and green. Everyone coos and caws at the screen. The Mandalorian's rough. He's gruff and he's tough. But with Baby Yoda, his softer side is seen.
Frozen 49th Scoop would like a limerick about Yule, dedicated to the celebrating Scoops.
Yule. Yeah.
I once was playing on an Atari. Mm-hmm. I got hit in the head with a controller and left a scarry. I looked at my bro. And I mustered anger, you know, and said, hey, you'll be sorry.
Yeah.
Ow. It's time to do a little triple threat.
You'll be fucking sorry.
Scoop Chang, the Beijing Bugle, would like a triple threat about Billy Joel's milk leg, dedicated to Jim's bat mom.
Double inside Jim.
Crazy. Yep.
185 milk legs walk into the bar. The bartender says, we don't serve milk legs here. The milk legs say, Why? And the bartender says, we're lactose intolerant.
Yep.
We don't serve milk here. They call me the milk leg because one of my legs is made entirely of milk.
I like my women like I like my milk legs, straight from the mouth of Billy Joel.
Yeah.
What's the difference between your mom and milk legs?
What's up?
One is an inside joke, and the other insides make me choke.
Brad would like a triple threat about boozy eggnog, dedicated to dealing with family gatherings.
185 boozy eggnogs walking to the bar. Bartender says, we don't serve boozy eggnog. Boozy eggnog says, you missing out on like one of the greatest holiday traditions. Boozy eggnog is where it's at. Get it boozy. Get it eggy.
Oh, yeah.
Like my women, like I like my boozy eggnog. Thick and viscous, and yet will still mess me up.
They call me boozy eggnog because I'm best served in a moose head glass from Wally World.
Was this your mom and boozy eggnog?
What?
One is a disgusting thing that I'll consume once a year,
mm-hmm.
and the other is boozy eggnog.
There you go.
Scoop Bucky would like a triple threat about Christmas trees, dedicated to all the scoops. Enjoy the winter solstice.
Yes. 185 Christmas trees walking to the bar. The bartender says, I'm sorry, we don't serve Christmas trees here. And the Christmas trees say, we are pining for a drink.
Ah!
And the bartender says, well, you'll not have one from me. And the Christmas trees say, well, we're bored. And the bartender says, you're a bunch of saps. And then the Christmas trees say, stop needling us. And the bartender says, can I confer a secret with you? And the Christmas trees say, chlorophyll. Me with some drinks.
Let's see. Scoop Bucky, that was your fault. It's all your fault.
Christmas trees, right?
I even had like three other things in my head, and they've all been destroyed.
They've all
just gone away. Yeah.
I like my women like I like my Christmas trees. Squirrels live in them.
They call me the Christmas tree because I'm fake. I like my women like I like my Christmas trees. They have to be plugged in.
What's the difference between your mom and a Christmas tree?
What?
One, if I leave in the living room too long, it should shrivel up and stink.
Yeah.
The other's a Christmas tree.
Doc Scoop would like a triple threat about Maple Leaf Matt from Geek Shock. Maple Leaf Matt.
185 Maple Leaf Matts walking to the bar. The bartender says, we don't serve Maple Leaf Matts here, eh? And the Maple Leaf Matts say, oh, sorry to bother you. He's Canadian, you see.
Ah.
Yes. They call me the Maple Leaf Matt because my money looks like cartoon colors and my coins are named after ducks.
It's true. And they're magnetic.
I like my women like I like my Maple Leaf Mats. They have a medical scare after their visits to Olive Garden.
Who doesn't?
Right? What's the difference between your mom and Maple Leaf Matt?
What?
Not much, that ugly bitch.
Ow! Stay down, Maple Leaf Matt and mom.
And mom.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
And mom. Bye.